I want to preach to you from the book of Acts tonight. The book of Acts, chapter number 14. I believe God will move. Amen. Said, when all the dust is settled and my back is on the ground. Let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. I have enjoyed the testimonies and the songs and everything up to this point. I truly have. And I give God praise for it. Let's go to verse number 19. Of Acts 14. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. I want to preach from verse 27. The Bible says that they gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is the door of faith. Amen. The door of faith. Can you say that with me? The door of faith. God opened the door of faith unto us. Amen. Would you pray with me that the Lord would help us? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for this Wednesday night service, God. Thank you for every one of us that's here. Thank you, Lord, for the door of faith. I pray that you would open it up unto us, God. Thank you for every testimony, Lord. Our heart is full of gratitude tonight. And I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, to worship you. And I pray, God, that you speak to us from your word and anoint your word. I know your word is anointed, and it will accomplish where you send it. It will not return unto you void. I know, God, that there is that anointing on the holy word of God. But I pray, God, for that special anointing, God, that touches us in a way. God, that we're never the same after we hear this message tonight. Open our hearts, Lord. Open the door of faith in our hearts tonight, God. And have your way. Open our eyes that we'll behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The door of faith. Paul here and Barnabas. Amen, is going here around about. This is his first missionary journey. And Paul and Barnabas have seen mighty things happen in Gentile land and among the Gentiles. We pick up here and Paul is stoned, and they thought he was dead. They thought Paul was dead. And it's a miracle that he didn't die. Matter of fact, they supposed him dead and drew him out the city. And albeit as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. I don't know if God raised him from the dead or if he was just knocked out. And, if he just, a rock had just knocked him out or whatever, but God, he went right on, and God saved him from death right there. Antioch, certain Jews came from Antioch. I know that I don't want to get too deep in this tonight, but my heart is stirred tonight. Amen. I want God to open the door of faith unto us. Hallelujah. God opened the door. And when God opens the door, nobody can shut it. We need God to open doors. Hallelujah. And Antioch, basically was kind of like in the book of Acts, it's kind of a headquarters for the new Gentile church. Jerusalem was definitely the headquarters for the Jewish church. And for the most part, the Jews and the Gentiles at this time did not have much dealings with one another. This was, matter of fact, chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas go back to Jerusalem. And different ones from Antioch go also with them. They go to the apostles, they go to Peter and James, and they talk to them and they tell them. There was actually many at that time saying, teaching the doctrines of Moses and the law and the ceremonial law. And they was in this battle. Different ones was, if you read Galatians deals, Paul deals with the Galatians saying, you were serving God in faith and now you've went back, unto all of these ceremonial laws and different things. And so this was a big battle. So actually in chapter 15, right after this has taken place in Antioch, is when the Jewish church sent letters unto all of the Gentile churches and saying, abstain from meats that are offered to idols, abstain from meats that have been strangled. There were certain heathen cultures and things, the way they ate their food, and abstain from blood and fornication and idols and all those things, chapter 15. And so we're just leading up to this. Matter of fact, verse 28, our last scripture that we read here, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas head back to Jerusalem just shortly after that. And it's so interesting. I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to preach what's on my heart, the door of faith. Amen. God wants to open unto us doors. Hallelujah. They was recommended to the grace of God. They was given to the grace of God. There is not a safer place to be than in the grace of God. There is no safer place to be, hallelujah, than in God's grace. Praise God. And notice here, they come down, they preach. Now, they leave, the Jews from Antioch come and they stone Paul. Verse 20, he gets up and him and Barnabas departed the next day. Amen. And when they had preached the gospel in another city, they returned again to Antioch. They confirmed the souls of the disciples, amen, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And they ordained elders in every church and prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord, gave them to the Lord on whom they believed, and then they left again. They passed through a few more cities and they, it names these places they go, and then they come back to Antioch. So here they are back at Antioch. Amen. And they come and what do they say? They say, God opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. We need God to open people's hearts. We need God to open our hearts tonight. Amen. We need God. We have a door on our heart. Have you seen, amen, there's a painting, it's a very popular painting of Revelation 3 and 20, where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's not knocking on your house door. He's knocking on our heart's door. There's a door on our heart. Amen. And hallelujah. He knocks on that door and he says, "If any man will open unto me, I will come in to hear my voice and open unto me. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Notice the Bible said that God opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. It Revelation chapter 3, he talks to the church of Philadelphia, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy," Christ is holy, "he that is true," amen, the Bible said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," amen, "he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth," amen. You know, when the ark, when Noah built the ark, amen, and it started to rain. You know, I know the fountains of the deep opened up. Amen. And the Bible says that. And no doubt that the earth, amen, was transformed and changed at that time geographically. And because of that major flood, the whole world flooded. And not only that, most scientists will agree and believe, amen, that like God let water come out from under the earth. Because before the flood, there was no rain that came in the clouds. There went up a mist out of the earth and watered it. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But you know that it started to rain. It had never rained before. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. And God also sent floods on the earth, you know, just through his mighty power. But it rained solid for 40 days and 40 nights, and the whole earth was covered in water. Amen. But it was not just one day everything was covered in water. No, it just began to come up. Amen. But nobody else got in the ark. You know why they did not get in the ark when the water was to their ankles? I mean, you know, they're going to be trying to get in the ark when the water's getting up. They was talking about that flood up there in Missouri. And the guy was telling me about he had had some rental property. And he said that the man had rented a place from him there in town and had a gun store. And he said that he made up his mind that he wasn't leaving. He's in a low spot. And they told me, said that he stayed until the water got to his neck. And he was up against the ceiling. And he decided it's time to go out. And he said then he couldn't get the door open. He'd have to dive down and try to push the door open. He couldn't get the door open. And they told me that he kicked the window unit out. And he said, and the man told me, he said, there is no way he got through that hole where that window unit was. He said, but he did. He got through it. He said, you're talking about a big man? He said, but he got through that hole and he got out and saved his life. He said, I guess when you got about that much air in there, he said, you can go through a little bitty hole. And I don't want to try it. But you know why they didn't get in the ark when the water was to here? You know why they didn't? Because the Bible said God shut the door of the ark. And they couldn't get it open. Nobody could get it open. Noah couldn't even get it open. When God shuts it, amen, it's too late. Amen. That's why we've got to get saved while there's time. People say, well, I'll pray. I'll get right. I'll do this, you know, at a certain time. You know, and even opportunity. Amen. The importance of an opportunity. When an opportunity passes, it may be too late, church, young people. Amen. We've got to let it. He said, but I'm the one that opens and no man shuts. I'm the one that shuts and no man opens. When God opens a door, amen, the devil can't shut it. And when God shuts a door, you can't pry it open with a crowbar. Amen. That's why we got to get saved while God's dealing with us. The Bible said, amen, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Amen. I know God is great in mercy. And I know that God, amen, is full of compassion. Amen. But there have been those in this life who have went too far and they couldn't get the door open. But I'm preaching about the door of faith. Amen. He said, I open and no man shuts. He talks to the church of Philadelphia. Amen. Could we put ourselves right here tonight, old Paz? Can you put your own self there? Amen. Your vision, your ministry, your work for God. Amen. I know thy works, Jesus said. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. Amen. For thou hast a little strength. Say, I'm weak tonight. Amen.
Amen. He said to the church of Philadelphia, I gave you an open door and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. I know that many of us, and you may have even heard this, and this was not in my notes, but I'm going to tell it because it just came to me. I feel like the Lord brought it to my mind. But all, most of us have been down there to Champion, to the border, to Champion Holiness Mission, our church there. You know, our mission work. Maybe not everybody has, but a lot of us here have. And but, you know, a couple years ago, our pastor Titus and Bethany Shoecraft is there. But a couple years ago, we had a pastor there. And he came to us and he sent word to us and he said, he called us all in the same time. He called, amen, Brother Frank first, and he told him, he said, I'd like for you to give me a couple hours before you talk the rest. I want to tell them myself. But he called every one of us personally. I'll never forget when I answered that phone. I wasn't expecting it, but he told me that he didn't believe in the Holy Ghost no more. He said he didn't believe in salvation as the way we taught it. He believed that we was like predestined and it was God and he chose. I mean, just he went off the deep end and backslid and went away from God and got into he erred in doctrine. And he was our pastor and he was doing good there. And so we had to, you know, I was there the next Sunday. And so y'all remember this, but before that had happened, I was in Africa, and I had a dream while I was there. I don't remember, you know, exactly if it was in the night or the day, but I had a dream that I was in Africa, and Brother Frank was with me. And I had this dream in Africa, and I was in the motel room where I was, and somebody was trying to get in the door, and they was trying to push the door open. And it was a very big man, a very large man. And me and Brother Frank was trying our best to hold this door shut. And we trying to keep him out is what we was doing. And we was praying. We was pleading the blood of Jesus in this dream. And this man was very large. I didn't know him, but he was way stronger than me and Brother Frank together. And we was trying. And finally, as I was praying, and I just grabbed the door and I opened the door. And I looked at Brother Frank in this dream and I said, I feel like God is telling me if we will keep the door open that the big man can, that this man cannot get in. And so this was a few months before. I never told nobody about it. Actually, I forgot about it for a long time. And then the end of January, which would have been about 2 months later, this pastor, you know, erred in doctrine and went away. Amen. So we had to, you know, we had to get preachers there. We had to get people there. Nobody's there, just a handful of people in that church. And, I mean, you're talking about demonic attacks that came against that church. I mean, stuff that happened that I can't even talk about. I mean, just things that would just happen and was going on. But that whole time, which was from the last Sunday in January, I was there the first Sunday in February, until October, we had church in that church every Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And either there was a missionary in the valley that could keep that, could have service. There was two Sundays where I couldn't get nobody. Nobody would come. And I couldn't find no contacts, no preacher, nobody. I was trying to get people. And I thought, and I told some of the people in the church, just go. And just keep the doors of the church open. If somebody's there, if not, y'all just pray a little bit. And, you know, both of those Sundays, a preacher showed up that wasn't expected and preached. God had a man of God, amen, there every service until we got a pastor. Amen. You know what the devil's intention was? It was to shut that church down. But you know what? God had the door open, and when God opens the door, nobody can shut it. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I give God praise today. Amen. That church is open today by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Listen, he said, thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen. I'm talking tonight about the door of faith. Amen. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas here said God opened it. Amen. And in Revelation, Jesus said, when I open a door, nobody can shut that door. Praise God. I pray that God will open a door in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And pray that God will open doors in our life. Now, I want to read you a couple things here. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul says to the Corinthians, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul here said, man, this is a great door. This is a wonderful door. Not only that, affectional. I'm very involved in it. It's very touching. It's very powerful. Amen. A great door and affectional is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. When God opens the door, the devil's going to fight it. Hallelujah. When God opens the door, the devil's going to fight it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 12, amen, the Bible says, verse 10, he said, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. In other words, in the sight of Christ, if y'all will forgive them, I'll forgive them. He said, for your sakes, I'll forgive it. He said, you know, they was dealing with church problems, and Paul said, hey, I'm with you on this. He said, lest Satan should give an advantage unto us, of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Are you ignorant of the devil's devices? It's important for us to learn how the devil works. You know, the devil uses the same old tricks. Amen. You know how to find out how the devil works? Right here. Read the Bible. Amen. It's full of it. Amen. And the Bible is our roadmap. But verse 12, he said, furthermore, let me go further, he said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Amen. Talking about how can we do these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul here said, I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ. He said, I went to preach, and he said, a door was opened unto me. I'm preaching about the door of faith tonight. I'm preaching about God opened the door. He said, I went down there to preach in Troas. Amen. And he said, a door was opened unto me. Now, I want to talk about this for just a little while. If y'all will just bear with me, hold with me, try to stay with me just for a little while. I don't want to lose you. No way am I trying to bore you or nothing. I'm trying to get somewhere tonight. So y'all, amen, try to bear with me here just a little while. He said, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. And I took my leave of them, and I went from thence into Macedonia. Now, I know that I'm preaching to people that go to Sunday school and read their Bibles, and you probably may already know where I'm going. But the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, where he said, I fought a good fight, and I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. He's writing to Timothy, basically just the last words of Paul, almost, right here. And he talks about, you know, bring Mark, he's profitable for me for the gospel. But he says, amen, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, this is the same place. The cloak, the coat, or the clothes that I left at Troas, amen, with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with me, and the books, but especially the parchment. So Paul went to Troas, amen, and he said a door was opened unto me, amen, from the Lord. He said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And then he writes to Timothy and he said, hey, I left some clothes over there. Amen. He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, Luke's with me. Demas hath forsaken me. Amen. He's going down through the list here. And he said, hey, Timothy, come before winter so I can see you. And he said, go by Troas and get those clothes that I left there and get those books and those parchments that I left there and bring them to me. Now, Troas, amen, God help us, I'm preaching on an open door, amen. In Corinthians, he said, God opened the door to me there, but he says, I didn't have no rest in my spirit because I didn't find Titus. Amen. He was looking for Titus, his brother. Amen. He already said that a door was opened, and that's what I'm preaching about tonight. Amen. I'd like for the Lord to help us, and I want y'all to help me right here just a little while and try to stay with me. Amen. So we see in Corinthians that a door was opened, but also his spirit was troubled because he was looking for Titus. Now, if we go to Acts, and this has to be the same instance, Acts, amen, chapter 16 is where Paul and Silas get thrown in prison. Amen. And he says that in verse number 6, before that, this is Paul and Silas now, not Paul and Barnabas. Amen. He said that they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The Holy Ghost said no. You know, God don't always say yes. Amen. Sometimes God says no. The Holy Ghost forbid them to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Do you ever feel like all God ever tells you is no? Have you ever been the place where you want to do this and you want to do that and you want to do this and it seems like no, 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 no? Well, Paul was there. Paul was there in his life. I'm preaching about an open door. Hallelujah. Many times when God, have y'all ever heard this saying? When God shuts one door, come on, y'all help me, he opens another. Amen. They passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Now here he is where the door was opened. Verse number 9, this is in Acts. He doesn't say that he's troubled in spirit. Amen. Here in Acts, Luke is writing Acts, actually. Amen. Luke was a companion of Paul with Barnabas and with Silas. Amen. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now listen, he says a door was opened unto me. Amen. How was this door opened? This door was opened through a dream, through a vision in the night. You know what? Many of us would have said, oh man, that was just too much pizza. And sometimes it is too much pizza. Sometimes it's too much hamburgers or something, you know, or you're exhausted. But God needs to be able to speak to us. Listen to me. I'm preaching about the door of faith. Amen. How God opens the door sometimes is not how we think it is, where God just goes over and kicks open the door and says, man, if you can't see that, you're blind. Sometimes it's a door of faith where you got to walk in faith and just saying, God, every step, this is yours. God, every step, you told me not to preach the gospel over there. Said, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word. Say, well, I can understand if God would tell me not to sin, but you mean God will tell me not to preach the word? Listen, it's not always God's will to give a message in tongues. It's not always God's will to tell everything. It's not always God's will to testify about something. We've got to be led of the Holy Ghost if we're full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, the last thing I want to do is, amen, to hold you back tonight. But God was telling them no. No, no. Why? Because you know what ended up happening? The birth of the Philippian church took place because of these steps that Paul and Silas took. And none of it was in their plans. Hello, church. I'm talking about the door of faith. Hallelujah. He said, amen, that he had no rest in his spirit because he looked for Titus. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over and help us. And after he seen a vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. Loosing from Troas, we came straight course, right on. God, you open this door, I'm going to see if you've opened it. You know, many times we knock on a door and we can't get it open and say, man alive. Amen. Knock on this door and don't open. Say, man alive. And we say, well, I guess God don't want to use me. He don't want to help me. I guess God ain't got nothing for me. I guess it's just over for my ministry or what God wants for me, because I tried here and I tried there and I tried all this. Well, nothing ever happened. So.
God help us to never, amen, the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Amen. The apostle here is a man of God, but the Holy Ghost wouldn't open the door in Asia. The Spirit wouldn't let him, amen, go to Bithynia where he wanted to go. He wanted to go there. There's things we want to do, and God won't let us because he's got a reason. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that they came, amen, into this city of, and you know the story. They went out by the riverside as there was prayer being made, and there was a woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, whose heart the Lord opened. I'm talking about an open door. Say, well, if it's an open door, amen, then surely I'm going to be preaching to thousands. You know that Paul and Silas, which we sing about, preach about, shout about, testify about, amen, how that the prison was shooken. You know how it started? It started by the river. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This woman, a seller of purple, in a little bitty prayer meeting, one lady, God opened her heart. Hallelujah. But Paul was willing to walk through it. Listen, we've got to be willing to walk through the door. We got to be willing to believe God. He said a door was opened unto me at Troas. Was he talking about the vision of Macedonia? Amen. There's no doubt that God opened the door, whether he was talking about it or not. I'm preaching tonight about the door of faith. Amen. It came to pass as they was going to prayer that a damsel, amen, was full of the devil. She brought her masters much gain through her soothsaying. You know, she was demon-possessed, and demons have power. Amen. Demons don't know the future. The devil doesn't know the future, but they can make a very good guess. You know who's the most predictable? Human beings. You know why? Because we're guaranteed to mess up without the help of God. And so she brought, you know, the devil doesn't know the future. Demons don't know the future. The devil does not know the future. He can guess, and he may hit it close to the mark at times. And you know, this woman here, whether she was a palm reader or you know, something like that, these people was using her for gain through these demonic powers. And Paul and Silas are just walking through the street, and she says, these are servants of God. These are men of God. Amen. And Paul put up with it for several days, and finally he turned around unto her and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her, and the devil come out of her. Well, then they knew they wasn't going to make no money with this whatever, you know. Whatever she was doing, that's the type of sinfulness she was involved in. And her master saw them, they threw Paul and Silas in prison. Midnight, the Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. The prisoners heard them. God sent an earthquake. Amen. The foundations of the prison was shaken. The doors was open. Every man's bands loose. The keeper of the prison, amen, come out and saw the prison doors open. He pulled out a sword to kill himself. Amen. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Amen. He called for a light and said, come in. Amen. Said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen. Hallelujah. He took them to his house. He washed their stripes because they beat them before they threw them in prison. Amen. And the Bible said that he was baptized and got saved. That his family was baptized and got saved. And no doubt, God began the church of Philippians because God opened a door.
Amen. And this was kind of one of those doors that you kind of got to feel your way through. Y'all are looking at me tonight. But when it comes to the work of God and the things of God and living for God, and we want to do something, you don't always see way down the road. Sometimes you just got to feel your way. But you got to keep on going. I'm talking about the door of faith. You'd think Paul was at Jerusalem and Peter, who was the first, you know, bishop of the church at Jerusalem. Bishop, you know, here's this great man of God. And God tells him, says, Peter, go tell Paul to start a church at Philippians. Amen. And they come in church and Peter gets up and says, thus saith the Lord, my servant Paul, go start a church at Philippians. And somebody else comes in that time from somewhere else and said, I don't know who Paul is, but the Holy Ghost told me, amen, you know, go start a church at Philippians. And then Paul goes somewhere else and about three or four witnesses, and all of a sudden, so Paul packs up his bags, goes itinerates, you know, I've got to go to Philippians. Would you support me for $100 a month? I've got to go to Philippians. Would you give me $50 a month? And then after 3 years, Paul goes down to Philippians and starts a church. That's not the way it always happens. Sometimes it's you trying this door and you thought for sure God was going to do it that way, but the door is locked. And the Holy Ghost says no. And then you try this door, and the door is locked, and the Holy Ghost says no. And then you try this door, and the door is locked, and the Holy Ghost says no. And then he has a dream of all things, Paul. We're on a wild goose chase. I'm telling you, God knows how to save souls. He's in the business of saving souls. He's in the business of rescuing hearts from sin. He's in the business of opening doors of faith. Amen, but it's not always just exactly the way we think it should be. Amen. He's the one that opened the door. God's the one that did it. Amen. Listen to what they said. He said, amen, they were coming, gathered the church together, rehearsed all that God had done. Amen. With them. Hallelujah. Brother Wayne was talking about the presence of God tonight. Amen. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. God's the one that did it. They didn't go tell them what they did. They went and told what God did with them here tonight. Amen. Even from the youngest, when I was a young child, the Lord touched me. Amen. And called me into the ministry. Hallelujah. God can touch these children at the youngest age and give them a burden for a foreign field or a foreign land. Amen. There is countries that I have not even yet went to. Amen. That for days or months or even years when I was a teenager, I would pray for those countries because I would just read or some missionary would come by. Amen. And I would get a burden for them. Amen. And a call. You know, seem like, and I would go and I would pray. Amen. I know that God answers prayer from the youngest to the eldest. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. We've just got to be a willing vessel to walk through the door. Amen. How many doors does God want to open in your life? It might be at the grocery store. Amen. It might be somebody that knows you. It might be a connection. It might be at your work. It might be a family member. Amen, but I'm telling you, when God opens the door, walk through that door. Hallelujah. God wants to open the door of faith in people's hearts, in the Gentiles. God did it all, and God wants to do it all again. Amen. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. I know it's Wednesday night, and y'all are ready to go home. Amen. I know, amen, that we're tired tonight. I'm going to tell you something, church. Amen, I'm a feeling the Holy Ghost up here on the platform. Amen, I'm telling you, I'm a feeling the Holy Ghost up here. I feel like God's going to open some doors. I feel like God is opening doors. Amen, how does God open doors? Well, here's how He opened it there. Amen, it wasn't like everybody could see it. It was almost feeling their way through it. Amen, but God still yet opened the door. God opened the door. Who opened it? Thank you. God opened the door. Paul didn't open the door. Barnabas didn't open the door. Peter at Jerusalem didn't open the door. God opened the door. Hallelujah, church. Can I get a witness tonight? God opens doors still yet. There's a song that said, God's not through with you. He's got a work only you can do. Don't fall for Satan's lies. God's hand's still on your life. Oh no, God's not through with you. Hallelujah. God wants to open the door. God wants to open the door, young people. He wants to give you a call and a purpose in your life. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I know my dad was a preacher. Amen. And I got me a Bible when I was little. And I didn't even know what REV stood for. I didn't even know what Reverend stood for. You know, REV, abbreviation for Rev, for Reverend. And my dad always signed his name Rev, you know, Philip Snow. Well, so they got me a Bible and they had in there Samuel Snow. Well, I took in the front of it and put R-E-V, R-E-V. I mean, just a little bitty boy, barely right, probably 5-6 years old. And I put R-E-V dot in front of that Samuel Snow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I dare say that the devil said we got to stop him. Hallelujah. The devil don't want you to work for God. Amen. The devil don't want these girls, amen, to marry in God's will and work for God. Amen. Or go to Bible school or however it is. Amen. Hallelujah. When there's an open door, hallelujah, the devil's going to fight it. He said, there is a great door and effectual, amen, set before me, and there are many adversaries. Just because something don't work out, amen, just, you know, smoothly, don't mean that God's not with it. Amen. God's a setting open doors for people. Amen. And God, when He sets the door open, amen, nobody can shut it. And God wants us to walk through it. Amen. And that may not always make sense. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Even from the youngest of these Sunday school children, God has a call on your life. Amen. Even if you have, amen, turned your back on God or walked away from God, amen, or not fulfilled God's purpose in your life, there's still a call on your life. The Bible said that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Woo! He had already been in a fish's belly. He had already been to the bottom of the sea. Amen. He had already ran from God. He had already disobeyed God. But way down in the bottom of that sea, Jonah cried out. Amen. I want to tell you, no matter where you are, brother or sister, if you'll call out to God, I believe God will hear you. Amen. And the Bible said that God spoke unto that fish. Hallelujah. And He vomited Jonah on dry ground. Thank God. And then Jonah chapter 2 and verse, or chapter whatever, 3 and verse 1 said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I'm preaching on the door of faith tonight. Amen. The door of faith. We've just got to be a willing vessel. Hallelujah. It said, God, have your way. Not my will, but thine be done. That the fullness of the Son may dwell within this heart that I have offered thee. Until everything I do becomes a thing that pleases you. Abba, Father, I will be a son indeed. Do you know it? Not my will, but thine be done. Y'all ain't helping me. And that the fullness of the Son may dwell within this heart that I have offered thee. Until everything I do becomes a thing that pleases you. Abba, Father, I will be a son indeed. Hallelujah. How about one we know all well? Jesus, use me. And no, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Sing it again. Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. One more time, sing it, church. Jesus, use me. Sing it. Oh, Lord, don't. Church, there's doors that are opened in front of individuals tonight. There's a work that I... There's doors that are opened in front of people tonight. And even though it's humble, it might not be exactly the way you want it. Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Lord, I know that there's individuals here tonight that you have a plan and a purpose for. I know that there's individuals here tonight, Lord, that the devil says, oh, there's no way you can ever do anything for God. Look at the mess you've made. Look at what you've done. Look at how you've done this. Look at the opportunities you've lost. Look at how you messed your life up. Listen, friend, tonight. There's a door of faith that God opened. I didn't open the door. God opened it. He has a call on your life. He has a purpose in your life. He has a plan for you. You're not coming to me. You're coming to God. But I want you to talk to God about it tonight. I want you to tell the Lord about it tonight. God could be calling young people here tonight. He is calling young people. He's calling just like he did Samuel. It's just when they hear, brother. Every service the Lord's a calling. It just depends on if they'll hear him in that service. Oh, God's calling these young people. He has a call on every child's life. He may want them to be a preacher, a missionary. He may want them to be a Sunday school teacher. He may want them to be, I know his call is for them to be a child of God, live for God. He's called you to be an Esther. He's called you to be a Ruth. He's called you to be a David. He's called you to be a Joshua. He's called you to be a Moses. And he's got that call tonight on our life. And it's an open door. It's wide open. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While we sing, let's find us a place. Oh, Jesus.